can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things. I can make it through this trial. I can be an overcomer. I can be victorious. I can make heaven my home. I can win a soul to Jesus. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Hallelujah. With Christ there are limitless possibilities. Huh? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Saying, can't never could do anything. And we tell our children, they say, well, I can't. No, you can't. We encourage them, no, you can't. I think sometimes it's that way with our Heavenly Father. We may not say it so much, but maybe we display it in our lives. Lord, I can't do this, or I can't be what you want me to be, or I can't make it through this situation, or I can't reach this person on my workplace. But he looks down and says, you can. You can. You just got to believe. For with God, all things are possible. How can we lift our hands for just a few moments, lift our voice? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, I can through you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It feels good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. So you guys have church twice on Sunday? Yes, we do. Isn't that a lot more time and preparation and practice and study? Yes, it is. But if you're going to spend time doing something, I'm going to say that again. If you're going to spend time doing something, if you're going to expel energy and effort, if you're going to weary yourself with doing something, why? Why would it not be for the cause of Christ? Why would it not be for the kingdom of God? Is there anything worth more wearing yourself out over than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to see souls saved? Hallelujah, hallelujah. While you're standing, if you would grab your Bibles, do want to remind you just some upcoming things by way of the calendar. Do want to say thank you to all those who helped and the work day and women who made the meals possible. Thank you so much for treating us, and we're endeavoring to make the kitchen a much nicer place. And that's going to take some work, some more work. And so, if you have opportunity to help us, please let us know. Brother Tom has done such a good job in kind of leading what's happening down there, and I told him, he said, well, you know, sometimes if I get in a room and I can just visualize it and I can just, you know, make it happen. I said, well, man, I need to let you go more often, man. Just get in a room and let your imagination go, and let's see what comes of it. But I want to say a special thank you to Brother Tom, who has worked very hard here in the last few days. And give honor where honor is due. I honor you, brother. Thank you so much. You will never go wrong in working for the kingdom. You will never go wrong in working for the kingdom. Many, many years ago, a man that many of you will know by mention of his name preached a sermon that changed me. The title of the sermon was, The Servants See the Miracles. The Servants See the Miracles. Brother Wayne Huntley preached a message. I forget the venue, but I do recall the words of the message, and changed me. Changed me. And if you're endeavoring to do a work for the Lord, you will never go wrong by committing yourself, your talents, your treasure, your resources into the kingdom of God. Giving of yourself to seeing the kingdom of God. There is nothing more rewarding, not only in this life, but in the life to come, than when you put your hand to the plow and work for the kingdom of God. It's not what I'm preaching on, but it's good anyhow. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Begin reading verse number 1, read down through verse number 3, and then we will address some other scriptures. It reads like this, 1 Samuel 17:1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. Were gathered together, Socah, belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Socah, Azekah, and Pheshdanim. Now, if you want to try to say all those words yourself, you're welcome to do so. And Saul and the men of Israel gathered together and pitched the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley. Everybody say a valley. There was a valley between them. This valley was in a certain land, the Bible denotes. The Bible tells us, Socah. The Bible specifically says in verse number 1 that this land belonged to Judah. This was Judah's inheritance. And they made it into the promised land under the direction of Joshua. This portion of land, or this place, was a place that was given to the tribe of Judah. Many of you know what the name Judah means. It simply means praise. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. Very simply, the valley belongs to praise. The valley belongs to praise. I've heard, and I'm sure many of you have heard a lot of messages concerning the battle between David and Goliath. It is an epic battle in Scripture. It is one that many of us have heard in Sunday school classes. But rather than focusing on the battle itself, I want to focus on where the battle took place. This area, this territory, this land that the Bible specifically says belongeth to Judah. Philistines on one mountainside and the Israelites on the other side. And there in the valley, many of us know the story well. Goliath of Gath comes, makes his presence known in the valley, calls, challenges the armies of the living God. Says, send me a man. Send someone down here in this valley. Send someone. Let them fight against me. Send your best. Send the best warrior in your ranks. Let that man fight against me. When we fight, if I prevail, then you will become our servants. If your man prevails, then we will become your servants. Maybe Goliath did not truly understand where he was standing. Maybe, just maybe, Goliath did not understand the ground that he stood on belonged to Judah. The valley from which he made the challenge was the valley that belongs to praise. Oh, Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house to lift you up and to magnify your name that is above every name, to give you glory and honor and praise that is so due your name. Lord, I pray that through the next moments of this message, God, that hearts and lives, God, would see in the Scripture, God, a setting, God, that has such significance in our own lives, God, that we would see and understand what it means, God, to be in the valley, but to understand that the valley belongs to praise. We love you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name. In the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The valley belongs to praise. Many of us who have read the Bible and understand that when you look at the Old Testament, you look at the Israelites, you understand that one of the arch enemies of the Israelites was none other than the Philistines. The Philistines and the Israelites were often in battle, were often arch enemies one with another, and they fought many times throughout Scripture. And this meeting, if you will, is probably one of the most famous encounters between the armies of the Philistines and the armies of the Israelites. This story, this setting, no doubt many of us, as I stated earlier, have heard and we have rehearsed such maybe in the ears of others how that this battle, this epic battle between David and Goliath, the small shepherd boy with a sling and a stone and the great Goliath and a warrior from his youth who stood, as best we can tell, according to scriptures, it says 6 cubits and a span, which would seem to indicate if a cubit was a foot and a half that this man stood over 9 feet tall. He was not a small man by any stretch of the imagination. He was immense. He was a giant. And it is interesting to know that after the scripture describes the setting, it gives us the place of where this battle is to take place. It introduces us to the challenger. It introduces us to this Goliath of Gath. And in verse number 4, the Bible says, "And there went out a champion." Goliath was no rookie. Goliath, this was not his first encounter. This was not his first battle. I dare say that many had fallen at the feet of this great Goliath of Gath. I would say that this man had made a name for himself, so much so that when he stood in the valley of Shokah and he said what he said, nobody disputed his authority with which he said it. Nobody stopped and made a point of order and said, "No, Goliath, that's not the way it's going to be." When Goliath spoke, it's as if the whole valley listened and they paid attention and they heeded what he said. Goliath was a man to be feared among his peers and among those who witnessed who he was and his exploits, no doubt, in battle. And the Bible says whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head and he was armed with a coat of mail. And with the weight of coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head was 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. It took a whole man just to bear his shield. Goliath was an immense figure. The Bible gives the description of this Goliath of Gath, and I would say that in the message this evening, I would like for us to understand that the enemy always comes at us with appearance, with intimidation, with an example of their might and their splendor, and if we would, their appeal to the world. This man was a man of men. This man was a warrior of warriors. This man was looked upon with great respect and admiration. Just the description of his armament and his weaponry would leave in our heart and in our mind something of an intimidation factor when we consider the possibility of ever meeting someone like this. Us, we ourselves ever coming face to face in a conflict with someone of this magnitude, we say within ourselves, "Wow, this was a great man. He was big. He was awesome. He was a mighty warrior." Yes, all those things are true, but we need to understand where he was. We need to understand that this man, this Goliath of Gath, no matter how big he was, no matter how bright his armor was, no matter how he looked and his appearance, no matter how intimidating he seemed, he stood in a place of great significance. He stood in a place where he was, as the Bible says, defying the armies of the living God. Can I say this and make no mistake? When we come to the subject of praise, we need to understand that praise does have a lot to do with appearance. Later on in David's life, when he danced into the city of Jerusalem, when he took off his kingly robes and he danced before the ark as it was led into the city of Jerusalem, it was the appearance that David had. It was what David did in removing his kingly robes and worshiping before the Lord, the Bible says, with all his might. The appearance is what caused his wife to look in disdain and disgust. The appearance of what he did and how he humbled himself. How he took off his kingly robes and he danced before the Lord with all his might. And his wife looked at him in disgust and said, how foolishly you displayed. And I'm paraphrasing what she said. But how foolishly you displayed yourself among the daughters of Israel today. See, your appearance matters. You're king. Took off your kingly robes and you danced before the Lord. And I love David's response to her. He said, I will be even more vile than this. You need to understand when it comes to praise, one of the reasons why it is difficult for some people to lift their hands and lift their voice, why it's difficult for some people to demonstrate their affection and appreciation to God, has a lot to do with the appearance. See, in my mind, Goliath was an example of pride. He was the epitome, if you will, of the flesh. All the descriptions. He was an immense man. He was a figure to be reckoned with in the natural. He was intimidating, to say the least. And I would dare say it is something for people to come into an apostolic service where people unabashedly raise their hands and lift their voice. It is many times the sheer appearance of people who are free and have the liberty to worship God in such manner. It is often that appearance is intimidating to people. Catch the parallel that I'm making in the understanding that when Goliath stepped into the valley, the appearance of this man, his immense stature and all of his armament and what he brought to the valley, the Bible says in verse number 11, when Saul and all of Israel heard the words of the Philistine, when they heard what Goliath said, they were dismayed. They were greatly afraid. His appearance intimidated them. None would step up to the challenge. This epitome of pride and flesh stood in the valley of Elah, in the land of Socah. And here this Goliath of Gath, here in his appearance and in his intimidation, he makes a challenge. Send me a man. Send me someone. Let someone come down into this valley and challenge me. Let there be a conflict. Let there be combat between me and your greatest warrior. Let someone come down here in the valley and meet me here and let us fight. And the Bible says that for 40 days, day and night, he came to the valley. Send me a man. How arrogant he must have gotten. How full of pride he must have gotten. After day, he presented the challenge. And no one broke from the ranks in the Israelite camp. No one could get over the intimidation. No one could get over the appearance of this man in the valley. No one would step up and take the challenge. And no doubt how his confidence grew. No doubt how he in his own disdain and disgust for these Israelite dogs, how he must have felt so powerful. How he must, after day, challenging the armies of Israel, and no one taking up the challenge and making their way to the valley. How that this Goliath of Gath must have been so swelled up in his own image, thinking, I am so great and I am so intimidating. They have probably heard of my exploits, and none of them dare come down to meet me in this valley. This epitome of pride, this immense flesh, this representation of appearance and image, stands defying the armies of the living God. No one accepts the challenge. Except one of these days, this little shepherd boy by the name of David is making his way to the battle. He has been given the responsibility from his father Jesse to go and take a delivery. Some corn, some bread, and some cheese. And to see how his brothers are faring, to see how the battle is going, he was commissioned by his father, Jesse, David, go take this delivery. Go there to where the battle is set in array and go and see how your brothers are doing. Bring back word, make sure everything's okay. And this little shepherd boy, David, this musician, this singer and harp player, is there and he hears this Goliath of Gath as he makes his way down to the valley, and he utters a challenge. David looks around at the armies of the living God. David looks around at these warriors, these children of God, and looks at them and says, is there not a cause? In other words, why hasn't anybody stepped up? Maybe he even inquired, how long has this man been doing this? How long has this Goliath of Gath made his way to the valley and offered the challenge and none have accepted? And David was obviously appalled that nobody from the armies of God had made their way down into the valley. Maybe, just maybe, David did know where Goliath was standing. Maybe, just maybe, David understood that that valley belonged to Judah. That valley on which this man stood, this immense figure of flesh and pride and arrogance, maybe, just maybe, David understood, wait a second, he's standing on our ground. He's defying us in our own land. He's standing in a valley that belongs to praise. And so if nobody else is going to do it, let this little harp player and musician, let this little singer step up and say, let me go before him. I'm up for it. I'm willing to go down and challenge. And his own brothers looked at him and said, oh, come on, David. What are you thinking? What are you doing? Why utter such things? Why you are so foolish to even say something? Look at yourself. He's an immense figure. He is a warrior. You're just a little shepherd boy on an errand. Somehow the words of David were rehearsed before the king, and Saul called him in and said, I heard that you're willing to go down. Catch this. Catch what was at stake. Catch what was on the table. Goliath said, if I win, you become our servants. If your man wins, we become your servants. Look at what he's put on the table. Look at the challenge that is set before. And somehow, some way, this man Saul, this king of Israel, somehow looks at David and says, buddy, do you really know what's hanging in the balance here? Do you really understand what's on the table at this point? You're but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. It really doesn't add up. What makes you think that you have what it takes to go down into that valley and fight this Goliath? What makes you think that you have what it takes? David rehearses a story before him and says, behold, I was keeping watch over my father's flock, and behold, there came a lion and a bear, and it took a lamb out of the flock, and I rose up against the lion and the bear, and I smote them. The God had delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and he shall deliver me out of the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. David said, I'm up for the challenge. See, the valley belongs to praise. The valley in which this man stands, it does not belong to the flesh. It does not belong to image. It does not belong to pride. We need to understand that the valley of praise, this valley in the land of Judah, it doesn't matter how good we think we are. It doesn't matter how our appearance is. We need to understand the valley belongs to praise. And their champion was pride. Catch this. Their champion was arrogant. Their champion was an immense man of flesh. And look at Israel's champion. Well, they don't know he's a champion yet. But he's just a small boy. He's just a youth. He's just ruddy. He's not a warrior. The only thing he's got is just a sling and a stone and a shepherd's staff. But I tell you what made David champion. See, the champion of the Philistines was pride. And the champion of the Israelites was humility. David steps onto the scene. He comes into the valley that belongs to praise. He says, "You come at me with sword and shield, but I come at you in the name of the Lord." And catch what David said. You read down through the story, and I believe it's verse number 46. David says this. He looks at Goliath of Gath, who is standing in the valley that belongs to praise. And if you look down at verse number 46, this is what David says. "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee." Catch this next phrase. "And take thy head from thee." David, you don't even have anything with which to take his head. David, you just have a sling and a stone. You don't even have a sword strapped to your side. You decided not to bring Saul's armor into the battle because you had not proved it. You only brought what you had proved. Need to understand, it doesn't have to be flashy. It doesn't have to be great. My singing doesn't have to be on key. It doesn't have to be splendid. It doesn't have to be wonderful. It just has to be understood that the valley belongs to praise. And though I may not look like someone who should be in this valley, and though I may look like the epitome of humility, you need to understand, praise is comely. To be humble before God, to offer up praise and worship unto God in humility. Goliath stands in the valley that belongs to praise. And so here comes this small shepherd boy with just a sling and a stone. And he looks at this immense giant and says, "Today the Lord's going to deliver me, you, into my hand. And furthermore, I'm going to smite thee, and I'm going to take the head, your head from thee." See, the beauty of praise is such that those things that the enemy tries, when someone unabashedly and unashamedly worships and praises God, it's as if they are taking the enemy's own weapon, appearance. Catch it. And they're saying, "I'm going to take your own weapon and I'm going to take your head off. This day, I'm going to smite you and I'm going to remove your head." It is such a beautiful thing to witness someone who
in their former life may have used their members and may have used their hand and their voice to worship the flesh and as an example of pride, and were concerned about their appearance and what they look like and what people took them for and their image. It is such a beautiful thing to see that same person come in and lift their hands and lift their voice in worship and praise unto God. Why is it so important? Why is it so special? Because the valley belongs to praise. Goliath, your immense flesh and appearance and image is in a place it should not be. You have decided to defy the armies of the living God, but you made the mistake of doing so in the valley that belongs to praise. And so let this little shepherd boy make his way down into the valley. He's a worshiper. He's a praiser. Ha, you're on his territory. You're in his valley. The valley belongs to praise. And so David, we know the story. The Bible lets us know that David slings the stone. And the Bible says it sinks into his head and Goliath falls down. And David, this little boy, a youth, takes out this big old sword, Goliath's sword. And there, in the valley of praise, in the valley it belongs to praise, there in this valley, David unsheathes Goliath's own sword and cuts off his head. He lifts it up as a representation. You came in with your image. You came in with your pride and your arrogance. You came in defying the armies of the living God. You came in with all your splendor. You came in with your image and your magnificence. And you came in with your shining armor and your big spear and your sword. But you need to understand, you die in the valley that belongs to praise. In the closing moments of this message, let me bring it full circle. Tell you why it's so important that when we come into the house of God, we get rid of image and appearance, what I look like, what I don't look like. Because here, maybe even in the midst of a struggle, maybe even in the midst of conflict, we need to understand the valley belongs to praise. It's at that point when we begin to lift our hands and we begin to lift our voice and we sing like nobody's listening and we dance like nobody's watching and we don't care who sees us or who doesn't see us. And it's not about getting the attention of others. It's about getting the attention of Almighty God. It's about coming before Him. The valley belongs to praise. And so I come before Him and I lift my voice and I lift my hands. And I want Him to know, Lord Jesus, I am here to give You glory. I am here to give You honor. And I will cut the head off image. And I will cut the head off my pride. And in humility, I will worship, and if I cry, that's okay, and if I weep, that's okay, if I sob, it's okay. It's not about what I look like. It's about the valley belongs to praise. I'm closing. Why don't you stand to your feet? Could we understand and could we know that here in the midst of the valley where the enemy wants to pick a fight, where he wants to intimidate you and try to keep you on the other side, what you need to know is the moment you begin to praise and the moment you begin to lift your voice, there's a shift that begins to happen. Flesh, you're standing in a place that belongs to praise. Appearance, you're standing in a place that belongs to praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I lift my voice. I lift my hands. I worship Him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, you who defy the armies of the living God, today I'm cutting your head off. Today you will meet your demise because you have dared challenge me in the valley that belongs to praise. Oh, why don't we do that right now? Why don't we praise and magnify Jesus? Why don't we lift Him up? Give Him glory and honor. If you made a fatal mistake when you made your way to a valley that belongs to praise, when you came in with your arrogance and you came in with your pride and you came in with your image thinking you were going to intimidate everybody, but there is someone who was up for the challenge. There was someone who looked down and said, the valley belongs to praise. I'm going to make my way down into the valley and I'm going to worship and I'm going to praise, and in doing so, I'm going to kill the champion of the enemy.
Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. We're praising for the victory. The weapons we use are our bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. We're praising for the victory. Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout.
Hallelujah!
Praising for the victory. Weapons we use are our bombs and guns.
The valley belongs to praise.
The way that the battle is won. This is the way. And sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. We're praising for the victory.
Hallelujah.
Weapons we use are our bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. We're praising for the victory. Worship is the way that the battle is one. This is the way that we fight.
Hallelujah.
We'll praise Him for the victory. Can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy. I can say loud enough. I can say strong enough. I can say big enough. Lord, you're worthy. I can say loud enough. I can say strong enough. I can say big enough. Lord, you're worthy. Can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name, Jesus. Free shout,
hallelujah,
shout the events set free. Shout, shout for the victory. Shout if you've been set free. Shout, shout for the victory. Shout if you've been set free. Shout. So I will shout with a voice of triumph.
Hallelujah.
Shout with a voice of praise. Shout with a voice of triumph. Shout with a voice.
Thank you, Jesus. Verse 51 of 1 Samuel 17 says, therefore David ran, stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And then look at the next verse. And catch it, verse number 53. I'm sorry. Let me find it. 52. And the men of Israel and of Judah. And the men of Israel and of Judah. David went down to the valley that belonged to Judah. And David in that valley that belonged to praise slew this great Goliath of Gath. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. But the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley. Judah took back. Because one shepherd boy understood that the valley belonged to praise. Now Judah, when the champion dies, Judah rises up and shouts. And the Bible says, pursue the Philistines to the valley. Oh Lord, why don't you lift your hands one more time? Why don't you give praise and glory unto God? The valley belongs to praise.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When you come into the house of the Lord, praises begin to go up and all of a sudden you feel intimidated. You're worried about appearance or your flesh. Your carnality tries to convince you that you're not going to win. You're not up for the challenge to lift your voice, to lift your hands. You just remind the enemy the valley belongs to praise. So I will lift my hands. I will lift my voice. I will sing praises unto God. I will not be intimidated by you. I will not think about appearance and image. It is not champion in the valley of praise. Humility, worship, and praise is the champion in the valley that belongs to praise. One more time, why don't you clap your hands? Why don't you shout unto God with a voice of triumph? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. Remember, the valley belongs to praise. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.